Our scripture reading today is from Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And the Lord says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was living in Florida serving a church, I met a man by the name of Mr. Alan Baker, and he had just moved to Florida in his retirement. He was a fairly wealthy man and had had an extremely successful career as an engineer. And in his youth, in his college days, he had been trained in, one of the Ivy League schools on the East Coast. During his youth, he had received an excellent education in design and engineering, and he was brilliant in mathematics and trigonometry, which is why he and I had so much to talk about. He worked for the largest manufacturer of surveying equipment in the world, and he designed those things that stand on the top of the tripods that surveyors use. They're called a theodolite. And by the time he retired, Al Baker had over 60 patents in his name. Fantastic career. I remember he told me once that when you look through those scopes and you see the crosshairs, he said, are made out of spider webbing because that's the strongest, thinnest material. And there was a lady in his laboratory that her only job was to take care of the spiders. They called her the Spider Woman. You'll learn some very irrelevant things in chapel sometimes. What really impressed me, though, about Mr. Baker was this. Up on the moon is a piece of his work. Apparently, during his career, NASA had contacted his laboratory and asked for a specific theodolite, a scope, that needed to be designed that could be put on the lunar rover, that little car that's still sitting up on the moon. And Mr. Baker, being their best designer, was not only the one who was asked to design this, but he hand-built it. So part of his legacy is sitting up on the moon. Wow. I wonder when he started college if he would have thought that his work would end up taking him there, where his knowledge took him in life. Where is your knowledge going to take you in life? It's kind of exciting to look out at a new student body, and those of you who have come back and to see all of the talent and all of this youthful energy and intelligence and intellect and the special gifts that so many of you have. Everybody's unique and different. And you're all just poised, looking ahead, maybe a little bit anxious, but you're looking ahead at your future and you're working on what you're going to do with your future. And who knows where that might take you? Who knows where the education and the things that you learn here on this campus, how that may impact your life and the lives of other people? Who knows where the knowledge you're going to gain here will take you? Is it possible that somebody sitting right here today in about 20 years or so may have some national attention for something they did? Or maybe something that's done in a classroom someday and teaching other students. Maybe a really good coach that impacts the lives of people. Maybe a fantastic musician who uses her talents in her church and so on. Where will your knowledge take you? Maybe you'll just be a fantastic dad or mom or husband or wife. So where can your knowledge take you? I'd like to go back to Mr. Baker for just a moment. At the time that I met him, Mr. Baker seemed to care less about God and to care less about church. His wife did. She came and joined the church where I was serving at the time. But he could care less about it, had no time for it, and didn't want to come. In the last couple years of his life, he developed an illness that it was very apparent it was ultimately going to bring his life to an end, and his retirement would suddenly be over. With that on his mind and heart, and with his wife's urging and asking me to come and get involved, I sat down with him and began instructing him in the Word of God, in the Bible, teaching him there all the things that God would have us know about ourselves, about life, and about eternal life, and so on. I had the privilege of being the one that God used to show him that what we know in that beautiful passage from John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. His intellect and education and knowledge had taken him to so many great things in life, even to the moon, but he knew that he could not get past his grave with that knowledge. And in that word that I was privileged to teach to him, he learned that very thing. You know, scattered among you today are your professors and people that work here and the staff and so on. And we all want you to be successful. We want you to go forward from this place and do some great things, whether it's just in your family or your church, your community, whatever. And that's what we're here for, is to educate you for that. We care about your future. But we care about something even more than that. And that is your eternal future. We want to make sure that someday you get to experience what heaven is like. That's what this campus ultimately is about. And that's why God's word is so important on this campus. That's why you're required to take religion classes. In that word of God, God talks to us and teaches us the reality about who we are, teaches us the reality about life. He doesn't sugarcoat it. In fact, God begins by teaching you knowledge and understanding in his word. God begins, you might say, by taking you to your grave first and saying, this is your biggest problem. This is what you need to be concerned about more than anything else, is how to get past this. And you know, just like I do, there's nothing in us or any fellow human being that can beat that, except for the human being that was also divine, the very Son of God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent into the world to take on human flesh, who went to the very cross to make payment for every one of the sins that would have caused us to be destroyed after we die, and took all that guilt on himself so that I could now stand here and tell every one of you that you are completely forgiven because of what Christ has done. God in his word teaches you to understand what that cross is about, what it means for you, teaches you what the empty grave of Christ is all about, that he's defeated death, and he says to those who now believe and trust in him, because I live, you shall live also. This is where true knowledge, this is where true wisdom is to be found, in that word of God. Listen to a little bit of our text again. My son, if you seek wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We take you back to Mr. Baker again. Mr. Baker is the only person that, to this point in my life, I have ever watched die. I was at his bedside as he breathed his last breath. It was my privilege that probably the last thing he heard was the words of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And with the knowledge that he was given by God through that word to know his Savior, I am confident that I will see him again someday in heaven. That is where God's knowledge finally took him. Somebody else now owns Mr. Baker's swimming pool. Somebody else now owns his beautiful retirement house. Hardly anybody remembers his brilliant career, maybe a few of his children and grandchildren. No one may ever again touch that instrument that sits on the moon that has his fingerprints on it. But I am confident that he sits now at the Feast of Salvation. So where will your knowledge take you? Amen. Please rise. Today we have a special prayer request. Last night, a young man by the name of Adam Subi, who is a very close high school friend of Dane Christensen, one of our students, Adam died unexpectedly of causes that are yet unknown. He was only 21. And we'd like to offer a prayer for his friends and family today. We pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today on behalf of the Subi family and for all those who now mourn the loss of this young man. Through this tragic death, cause the light of your truth to shine brightly so that those who knew Adam may possess the knowledge of salvation found only in the work of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Teach all of us to number our days here on earth, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen.